everybody, and welcome to this week's Highs and Lows in Wrestling here on the unofficial WWE podcast. Today is Sunday, July 18th, 2021, and my name is Mimi Burris. And guys, what a week. WWE SmackDown fans were back. We had Fyter Fest Night 1. We had an NXT and a Raw and the Thunderdome still, but Raw is back in front of fans next week, so a lot to look forward to. And Money in the Bank is tonight. You're probably going to be listening to this after Money in the Bank, but we will obviously talk about that next week. But a whole lot to get into that we are going to, you know, dive down a lot of right after this.
Hardy with a powerful right hand knocking Sammy Guevara through the stage.
I want a divorce. Oh!
I told you I was gonna ruin yours!
I feed my whole family with this title!
As I always say, guys, I hope you have all had a wonderful week this week. We're rounding it out here on Sunday, and I guess technically it is the start of a new week, so... Nevertheless, though, here we are, Money in the Bank tonight, and we had an awesome week of wrestling to talk about. Like I said, fans back on SmackDown. If you've been watching AEW, then we've already got fans back for a couple weeks now, but I'm still not used to it yet. I don't know if you guys are. I'm still just loving it. What the soul of wrestling is back, guys. It adds a whole new dimension that was missing for far too long, so I am just... so happy to be a wrestling fan for these past couple weeks, and especially this week included. And I am hyped up for Money in the Bank this tonight, actually. I'm hyped up for Money in the Bank, one of my favorite pay-per-views of the year, probably second favorite pay-per-view of the year besides the Royal Rumble, which is, you know, without a doubt, the best pay-per-view that WWE produces every year. Almost guaranteed for a banger there, and almost guaranteed for a banger tonight as well. Nonetheless, we'll definitely see a lot of awesome, cool action with Ricochet, John Morrison. It's going to be Shinsuke Nakamura, Kevin Owens. The names go on and on. It's going to be an awesome night tonight. They can't screw it up that bad, guys. They can't screw it up that bad. But before we get into our highs and lows of the week, quickly, as always, I will plug Patreon, and I'm going to make this the quickest plug of Patreon and Apple iTunes as I've ever made it. 99 cents, a dollar, ad-free, Patreon, go check it out. None of these ads. You get all this library not for free. You get all this library ad-free for $1 a month. Pretty good deal. There are other tiers that you can look into too with other fun things like mugs and t-shirts and other exclusive shows. So go check that out. And if you're not into Patreon, you just for some reason have some vendetta against Patreon, that's cool too. $3 or something. I think it's $3, $4 a month on iTunes. I should really look that up before I do these shows, but I don't because I'm unprepared. However, $3, $4 a month, you can sign up on Apple iTunes to get all these shows ad-free as well. What are you waiting for? Go do it. Ads suck. I get it, but I understand why we need them. So that's that. Quick plug. Moving on. Now we're going to talk about real quick tonight. Money is in the bank. Money in the bank is tonight, guys. Money in the bank is tonight. Super hyped, like I said before. So quick predictions, I figured. And I did have an email from one of you I want to read about their quick predictions as well. Our very own loyal listener, DJ Kuzmo. So DJ says for the men's Money in the Bank, his number one is Big E, his number two is Seth Rollins, and his number three is Matt Riddle. And for the women's Money in the Bank match, his number one is Liv Morgan, his number two is Zelina Vega, and his number three is whoever the final women's selection or qualifier is. Well, you know, DJ, that means your number three is Tamina. So, sounds like you're hopping on the Tamania train with me. Welcome, Choo Choo. Braun Strowman is our conductor. And yeah, I love all those picks. I'll give you just one for each, I guess. You know what? I'll give you what I think WWE is going to do and what I actually want them to do. For the women's match, what I would like them to do and who I would like them to pick would be Zelina Vega. I think that would be, and I think it makes the most sense as well. With her obviously re-signing recently, they definitely had to have, I don't know if I would say promised or something, but given her something for some reason to sign to that dreadful company. So my guess is Zelina Vega would be a great choice. Could you imagine her with the Money in the Bank briefcase? I mean, she would just be unbelievably entertaining the way she is on the mic and everything. I would love to see Zelina Vega hold the briefcase. And what I think they're going to do, they're probably going to give it to Alexa Bliss, and I'm going to cry on this podcast next week. So that's for the women's. For the men's, I have to say, I'm kind of much more interested in the women's one. I'm going to be honest. I don't know why. I guess maybe because I feel like the only person that's going to get cashed in on successfully, at least for the men's, is Bobby Lashley. When you have a champion as dominant as Roman Reigns, it does come with some, you know, it comes with a lot of benefits. But the only faults are that you're not really expecting him to lose anytime soon. So that kind of throws a lot of challengers out the window. Anyways, though, I'd have to say, I assume what I would like them to do is Seth Rollins, because I would love to see him hold the Money in the Bank briefcase, and then I'd love to see him versus Edge at SummerSlam for the briefcase. I think that would be really interesting for what they have going on. What I think they're going to do is I think they're going to go with Matt Riddle. They've been having a lot of steam behind Matt Riddle. Maybe that's wrong. Maybe Big E. I don't know. You might be right, DJ, with the Big E pick. It's honestly up in the air as to who they're going to pick. But who I would like to see it on is probably Seth Rollins. I think that would work the best. I do think a heel with the briefcase usually does much better than a face with a briefcase. Because then you get those weird, cash-ins like John Cena's cash-in is one of the ones I'm thinking of. Rob Van Dam's cash-in, I guess, could go under that category. But it's definitely... probably one of my favorite Money in the Bank cash-ins of all time, considering the amazing crowd ECW one-night stand match it led to. However, though, when you cash in and then you're like, oh, I'm cashing in for this pay-per-view, it's just, I don't know, all you have to do is hit the champion. Why do you need to win a match? Why do you need to win a dangerous match like the Money in the Bank just to get a pre-planned match like that one? So I can't see like a Big E, sneaking up on a Roman Reigns or a Bobby Lashley and cashing in that way. Anyways, though, those are my quick predictions. For the rest of the matches, I'm pretty uninterested or don't care much. Bobby Lashley, Roman Reigns, I don't think they're going to put the titles on Edge or Kofi Kingston. And then, Rhea Ripley and Charlotte Flair. Maybe Charlotte Flair, but who cares at this point with that? And I think the tag team champions are going to retain, and that's about as interested I am in all that. The Raw tag team champions, obviously. I think the Usos are going to win the SmackDown tag team championships. And then let's have Dominic Mysterio turn on Rey Mysterio in front of fans, and let's have that be a match. Maybe it'll give Dominic Mysterio some actual character. I mean, it's like watching paint dry with him and a microphone in his hand. So that is all of my Money in the Bank spiel. Let's get into the highs and the lows of the week, because that is why you guys are here. That's why we clicked on this podcast. That's what we're here to talk about. And let's start with our low for the week, guys, which is a pretty easy pick. And we're going to actually go over to SmackDown, our first live SmackDown with fans, and they're getting the low for the week. So good job, WWE. But our low for the week is this tag team championship contender match with Shotzi and Knox. Their names are Shotzi Blackheart and Tegan Knox, but Vince McMahon thinks that we have brains the size of infants, so we can't remember two names. So it's good that we have it's good that we have Riddle, or it's good that we have Big E rather than Big E Langston. It's good that we have Shotzi and Knox instead of Shotzi Blackheart and Tegan Knox, because I don't know about you guys, my brain is just the size of a pea, and I can't remember two names. So thank you, Vince McMahon, for making my life easier and only having to remember one surname rather than two. You are just a blessing of a man. Anyway, Shotzi and Knox versus Natalya and Tamina, and it was a tag team contender. I guess you could call this like an eliminator match maybe, but it wasn't. So yeah, this was awful. The wrestling wasn't great as it was, in the ring. We saw this exact match last week. So it was a match to lead to a match. Isn't that always great? We just love seeing that. And WWE never does that. So there was that. And then, obviously Tegan Knox and Shotzi Blackheart. See, the whole name shortening thing actually screws me up. Shotzi Blackheart and Tegan Knox defeated Tamina and Natalya with, I think it was another roll-up. Maybe it wasn't. Maybe it was the senton thing that Shotzi Blackheart does. I don't remember. Maybe it was the shiniest wizard. No, it was a small package roll-up by Tegan Knox. And so, yeah, why this was so bad? Well, first of all, the match itself was not entertaining at all. The wrestling wasn't good. Shotzi Blackheart and Tegan Knox are not a tag team. Ember Moon and Shotzi Blackheart were a tag team, but that would make too much sense. And Vince McMahon has never watched an episode of NXT in his entire life. So that makes a lot of sense. And then the commentary, guys, is what really put this over the edge. The commentary between Zelina Vega and Liv Morgan. Oh my God. I had to mute it at a certain point. I had to mute it for my own safety and sanity, and so I don't punch my own computer, because it's expensive and I don't want to break it. But oh my God, these two women were so annoying. I mean, you guys, these are two grown women, and Liv Morgan had never sounded so whiny and annoying, and that's saying something because lately that is all she has been doing is whining and whining and whining. Vince McMahon does not know how to book a babyface. This man does not know how to, like, see basic redeeming qualities in human beings. He just makes babyfaces whine, i.e., look at Drew McIntyre, who was so beloved when he won the Royal Rumble. We were all so happy about it as fans. Like, he was the guy that we were happy about. Like, again, not, I guess technically in the beginning he was Vince McMahon's guy, but he wasn't being shoved down our throats, right? And then, what do you know? Here we are, 2021, like a little over a year later, and he's telling folk tale, and he's a whiny little baby. Like, he's so annoying. About with the whole thing with Bobby Lashley, just whining and whining and whining to get another title shot. And what do you know? Here's Liv Morgan, this person who has a giant internet following. And a lot of people are really into her, including myself. I really love Liv Morgan. Like, I don't want you guys to get me wrong. I'm not trashing anything to do with Liv Morgan. I think Liv Morgan is incredible. And I think she's definitely really improved in the ring. And I, like I said, I love the documentary on the WWE Network. I thought she really did an amazing job producing that. So I'm all about Liv Morgan. It's the character that they make her portray that comes off as a whiny little thing, not a baby face, annoying as all hell. And then you've got Zelina Vega, one of the greatest people on the microphone that WWE has ever had. Without a doubt. Yeah, that might be saying something. You guys might think, well, what about Paul Heyman and all these? No, Zelina Vega is incredible. If you really listen to some of the stuff that she's been able to say and get across and do, she's really amazing. And she's like bickering like two little four-year-olds. I literally, the boy that I watch as a nanny is more mature than they make these women seem on television. This isn't even a man or a woman thing. This is just a Vince McMahon doesn't know basic good human qualities, and that's why you get what you get on television. So it is so awful. I couldn't pay attention to any of the match, and even if I could, the match wasn't good anyways. It was boring and the same thing that we saw last week. The only good part about this entire thing, guys, was that super kick from Tamina at the... I said Samina for a minute. That super kick from Tamina at the end of the whole thing, Natalia threw, I think it was Liv Morgan into her. That looked good. Give Zelina baby face. Give Zelina Vega the briefcase on Sunday at Money in the Bank, and then don't do anything. Just let her be her. That's my creative advice to nobody who listens to this podcast who has any power in WWE creative. Guys, it's great the fans are back, but these basic problems in WWE don't change when fans are back. You know, of course, we still get the same people shoved down our throats. We get the people that we like. Even if they get pushed as these annoying little whiny things. Like, I'm just waiting. Every good thing WWE has, it ruins. The Fiend even had a lot of power behind him. And what did they do to him? He lost in 6 minutes at WrestleMania. It wasn't even 6 minutes. I think it was 5 minutes at WrestleMania to an RKO after being burned alive and kicking out of that, surviving that. Every good thing that WWE has, it ruins. So even this Roman Reigns thing, guys, for me, I know a lot of people are super into this. It's the same thing every week. It is the same thing every week. And this Edge-Roman Reigns feud is, like, fine, but it's nothing exciting to me, at least. We all know what the end result is going to be, you know, and which is fine, which is really okay. And predictability isn't bad. It's just, like, the whole chair thing, it's not a no disqualification match. So now we know that in the match, the ref's going to get knocked out by something, and Edge is going to do the chair thing, and Roman Reigns is going to tap, and then it's not going to be counted, and then somehow Roman's going to, still win the match. I just, like, this, like, world-renowned SmackDown show I hear people talking about, sorry, it's not there. The match between Carmella and Bianca Belair wasn't bad at all. But again, we all kind of knew what was going on. And I have to say, though, the gimmick, Carmella's gimmick, was a little bit better with fans. She really did a good job of getting heat about it. So, nonetheless. All right, let's talk about good things. Let's go to our high of the week. And then, of course, we have Aiden's Ireland Corner. We're going to come up with a good name for that. Just give me a minute. Maybe we'll have a jingle with it, too. But we'll get to our Irish questions of the week. But speaking of Irish, Finn Balor returning to the Blue Brand, returning to SmackDown, you know, I was expecting more of a pop. I wish Finn Balor got a little bit louder of a response, but it was definitely really good to see him back, and hopefully they don't screw him up this time. But I think that Vince McMahon will definitely like the Prince character gimmick much more than the old Finn Balor. So, otherwise, guys, you know, Raw was Raw in front of the Thunderdome. I appreciate the effort they're putting into this Kofi Kingston-Bobby Lashley feud. It's to me, I'm enjoying it more than Edge and Roman Reigns, so we'll put it there. I'm glad Lashley's ladies are gone. Loved watching Lashley just hoy like a whole ass couch out of the ring. That was fun. So yeah, good stuff going on in Raw in regards to that. The women's title picture is still awful. John Morrison and Ricochet were entertaining for sure. I didn't mind the whole Sheamus Humberto Carrillo thing. So Raw really wasn't bad this week. I mean, it was still Raw, but it was on Raw's grading curve, it was a pretty enjoyable show. NXT as well. I didn't love NXT, but there were some bright spots in NXT, including, you know, that championship match made no sense as to who was the heel and the babyface, but because they didn't really even turn Johnny Gargano face, they just kind of did. He embraced the crowd, so that was nice. Ember Moon and Dakota Kai put on a way better match before, and this match this time was not great. Saray and Gigi Dolan were probably a high spot as well. So there wasn't a lot to talk about. I am enjoying that breakout tournament thing. I know it wasn't really great the last time, but this time I'm a little more enjoying it. I am enjoying it a little bit more. But I don't know. There's still some plot holes and all that stuff. But at the very least, on WWE curves, this was a pretty good week in wrestling. However, your high of the week, guys, of course, we are going over to AEW Dynamite this week. And if you heard my Dynamite review show, which you should have by now because it is up on the same feed, and if you're here listening to me talk about all this crap, why don't you hear me talk about some stuff that I actually liked? That goes out to you, Logan Meyer 23. I'm pretty positive on my AEW Dynamite review show, so go check me out on there, Logan. Not so negative. Anyways, yes, we're going to go over to AEW Dynamite for our high of the week, which goes to Hangman Page, the interview, the Kenny Omega segment, the Elite, the Dark Order, whatever you want to call it, that whole big confrontation thing. Because, guys, it was right there the whole time, and I didn't hear anyone calling it, and it's so perfect what they came to with all this. If you guys are not familiar with this Hangman, Adam Page, and Kenny Omega feud, go get yourself familiar. There's too much to describe on this podcast, and also this is just a highs and lows of the week. It is not an AEW review, but man, this has just been unbelievable. So Tony Schiavone is in the ring to interview Hangman Page. Everybody's got those cowboy SHIT chants going on and ready for Hangman Page to officially challenge Kenny Omega. And that's exactly what he does. He talks about how the Dark Order, you know, were right. He needs that belt. So he challenges Kenny Omega for the AEW World Championship. Or is he about to? He is about to. Everybody's favorite weird uncle comes out. And Don Callis with the rest of the Elite. Matt Jackson tells Adam Page that he is the next wrestling tragedy. Such a good line. It was like perfectly placed, and it wasn't too much, but it got the point. We love that. And this whole thing with these deep ties, like mental illness, insecurities, self-esteem problems, friends lifting you up. A good, just well-told, like in good faith storyline. I'm loving this. And then obviously Adam Page starts the brawl. He starts to, you know, attack all of the Elite, gets the better of them. But as he's going after some of the Elite, we have Kenny Omega behind him all revving up like he's about to hit him with the belt. And then the Dark Order comes out to make the save, does not allow them to do that. And nevertheless, guys, after a bunch of great lines back and forth, this was a long segment too. And the crowd was so, like, I'm sorry, SmackDown crowd was nothing in comparison to how into everything going on in this program and the entire show the AEW crowd has been lately. They are chanting Cowboy SHIT. Kenny Omega says that they're gonna soon change to chanting Belt Collector or something, but crowd is super into it, and we get Kenny Omega challenging Hangman Page to a 5-on-5 elimination match with the Dark Order versus all of the Elite. If the Dark Order wins, the Dark Order and Hangman Page win. Not only does Hangman Page already, he already has the number one contender spot, but not only does he get his match against Kenny Omega, but also the Dark Order get a tag team match against against Matt Jackson and Nick Jackson, the Young Bucks. If the Elite win, no title shots for either Hangman or anybody else. So What a great stipulation. What a great idea of a match. I mean, the 5-on-5, I'm like already dream booking all the different spots in this match. Maybe that's a whole nother podcast for itself. Maybe we will just get into what they could do with this match. All the individual matches beforehand. Hopefully Johnny Hungy, Johnny Silver is back and ready to wrestle because I miss watching him in the ring. I want to see him in this match. Evil Uno is just like so over right now. They capitalized on that so well. I'm just so into this, guys. And you know what? You know that WWE has been able to pivot because they have not, it's not WWE, excuse me, AEW was able to pivot. They obviously could not have planned this because Brody Lee was with the Dark Order and all that other stuff. And obviously, rest in peace to Brody Lee for sure. But with all that being said, this pivot's been amazing. I love this Dark Order behind Adam Page. And again, just a good faith long-term storyline that's hitting all of these pinnacles here, here, and here. It's so good and so satisfying to watch and be along for the ride. And Adam Page is so over. You know why? Because he's not a whiny little baby face like Liv Morgan or Drew McIntyre. Could you imagine, if any of you watching AEW, could you imagine Adam Page coming out and whining like Drew McIntyre did to Bobby Lashley for all these rematches? That's not what the story's been about. It's been about fighting through wins and losses and getting back to the title picture little by little, and the struggle and having no self-esteem and thinking you don't deserve a title shot anymore. You don't deserve to be that guy anymore. But then meeting friends along the way and having them lift you up and learn that you do deserve to be in this match again. Such good stuff, guys. It is so good. I am so into the storyline, and this, without a doubt, gets my high for the week. So that is all for your official highs and lows, guys. Before we move on, we've still got your random match recommendation, which will probably be Money in the Bank themed. And we've got, of course, Ireland, our questions from Ireland, Aiden's Corner of the Week, Aiden's Questions Corner. We're figuring it out. I promise I'll come up with something better and more catchy than all of that. Let's move on over to that, and then I will give you your guys' random recommendation of the week, and then you need to go on and enjoy the rest of your weekend and Money in the Bank tonight. So, as always, Aiden, thank you for your questions. Always really appreciate it, and love having this little section of the show. So, 100% thank you for always sending the questions. Keep it up, and glad you're feeling better and getting better. So your first question is regard to Twitter. I love that. The tweeter, as I call it, because I'm old and out of date. What is your view on the internet wrestling community? You know, I just found out, IWC, that's what that meant this week. I just found that out on, like, Monday. Anyways, you said I have a very quiet profile. I'm only following you now, but I'll check your tweets as they drop. There's so much random hate. Hopefully not me. I don't think you mean me. Yeah, there's so much random hate. If you express an opinion, someone will express the opposite, and conversation is cool. But there is hateful trolling, and I find female wrestlers and on-air screen talent are harassed as their sexual comments. I find LGBTQ wrestlers and allies are berated at times. Plenty of good, but what think you? That's a great question. And in regards to the internet wrestling community, yeah, people are awful. I sit in front of my microphone for like 2 hours a week and talk to you guys, you know, without being in front of you, obviously. That would be weird, unless you're outside my house again, but please don't be. But yeah, I sit in front of a microphone and talk to you guys for how long about wrestling. Clearly, I'm not really a people person. Oddly enough, I am really good with people, I think, but I'm not a people person because people are annoying and mean a lot of the time. And on the internet, people will always be mean because they don't have to be mean to your face. I found that out very, very early on. I kind of grew up as the internet. I feel like I grew up with the internet, if that makes sense. I'm in that generation where I had AOL and I had AIM and all that stuff. And as I got older, you know, Facebook came out. I never had a MySpace, but Facebook came out, and Instagram and Snapchat when I was in high school, and Twitter way earlier on, all that stuff. So I do feel like I've like seen the progression a lot as I've gotten older. And yeah, I've never been a fan of the internet. I don't love the internet. I love that it allows me to do things like this and talk to you guys, but I'm not like, I have the Instagram, but I'm not very, I should be better at Instagram, and I only have Facebook so people don't think I'm dead, all those things. And Twitter, yeah, I mean, people are always going to be mean when they don't have to say it to your face. And I do believe, I haven't seen a lot of terrible stuff on there yet, but again, I'm still new, and at the same time as well, you know, I try to keep, if I see things that are hateful, or especially against communities like LGBTQ or racist or anything, or people towards women, anything, men too, absolutely. If I see all that stuff, I really do my best to just like not have that on my feed. So unfollow, I haven't ever needed to block yet, I don't think, but I do my best to just keep all that stuff off my feed. I don't even interact anymore. I used to kind of stand up for the whoever they were hating on. I would respond back like, you know, what are you doing? Why do you have your time to do this? You know, go donate money to charity or do something better with your life. Sad that this is what you're spending your time doing. But at this point, guys, like my motto is you can't reason with the unreasonable. So there's a lot of bad out there on the internet, but there's also a lot of really good. So find the people who are good in the internet wrestling community. Don't follow the people who are bad and clickbaiters and all that stuff. Do your best to just, again, you know, there can be 100 nice comments, but one mean comment, and you're always going to notice the mean comment, but there is always definitely a lot of good out there. So try to be one of the good people on Twitter, and that's what I try to be. If I do have something negative to say about a wrestler or a storyline or something, again, it's never like personally at them, because definitely I have a lot of views on some of the wrestlers' views that I think are crazy, and I'm pretty sure you guys can tell. You probably can guess my political stances on a lot of things, considering just who I am, the way I am, and all that jazz. However, my point being is that I have a lot of views on a lot of other people's views, but I don't need to go tweet directly at them about it. And if I have some kind of feeling about, you know, how a match went, how a wrestler was, I don't at them. I think that's a big thing that needs to change on Twitter, guys. Let's say, for example, you didn't like the opening match on SmackDown with Edge and the Mysterios versus Roman Reigns and the Usos. For some reason, you're not about them. You don't need to at them. If they go fishing for comments on the internet and stuff and look up their names and searching stuff like that, that's on their own, like, that's their own time, their own prerogative. But we don't need to at them and purposely, you know, hate on them like that. It's just unnecessary. You know, there's so much hate in the world, like I said, even constructive criticism. We don't know what the hell we're talking about. We're not wrestlers. I've never taken a bump. So I come on here and I try to humbly as much as I can talk about what I liked and what I didn't like. And everything's subjective in wrestling too. But all I'm doing is analyzing as the best I can. At the end of the day, guys, I probably have no idea what the hell I'm talking about because I'm not a wrestler and I never have been. And like I said, I've never taken a bump. The closest I've ever gotten to wrestling is my brothers and I used to have our own wrestling foundation when we were kids, as I'm sure a lot of you had your own things with the title belts and trampolines and whatever, bean bags, anything that you could pretend to be a pro wrestler with when you were younger. That is the most I know about actually pro wrestling, so I won't ever pretend to know anything more, and I think a lot of people on Twitter think that they know more than they do. So just don't engage is my motto, and you can't reason with the unreasonable is really helpful for me not to engage with people who I don't want to engage with, because turns out there's a lot more interesting people to talk to on Twitter and on the internet than the people who are annoying and rude for no reason. And if any of you said anything to Naomi in a mean way, if any of you were any part of the reason why Naomi had to delete her Twitter, I don't want your listens. I don't want you, I really don't listen to my podcast or whatever. I don't need your, you know, audience. I really don't. I think that some of you are truly, not you guys listening to the podcast, obviously, but there are some people in the world who are truly evil to come at a woman like that for her fucking husband's issues. Ridiculous, guys. Ridiculous stuff on the internet, man. It's sad. But like I said, there's always good where there is bad too. So I just try to look out for that stuff. And your second question, Aiden, you said, addiction and mental health can go hand in hand. No specific wrestler, but I wonder about stigma on mental health of wrestlers. If a star says they have addiction, they may go to get rehab. If a star says they have anxiety or depression, will they get support? I think they might in AEW, EG must be your IE. Anyways, IE, the bunny has been open. I'm not sure in WWE. I mean, if you're an upper mid-carder, will you be allowed therapy? What if they are taking an antidepressant? I sincerely hope the stigma on mental health is gone. I think Vince would believe in mental health difficulties. What do you think on this whole area, Mimi? This is awesome question as well, I think. I appreciate, obviously, this is like a sensitive topic, and I don't have enough time to get into all of this. And I also want to say that, yeah, guys, you know, I feel like whenever anybody talks about any kind of addiction or mental health stuff, you have to preface it with, if you're struggling with any of that stuff and you don't have somebody to talk to or you don't know where to find help, that's why the internet's so amazing. You can literally just look up, if you don't know phone numbers, any of that stuff, you can literally look up, I'm depressed, where do I get help, or anything like that. So use the internet to your advantage in that sense. But so yes, if you're struggling with any of this stuff, addiction to, there's great programs to be able to help you with all that stuff as well. So go do that if you're struggling with that. There's no shame in ever asking for help. But in regards to wrestlers, I think it was so funny. I was listening to something earlier in the week about Kurt Angle and obviously his problems with pills in the earlier 2000s and Vince McMahon trying to get him to go to rehab and him declining going to rehab. I think that wrestlers should not be independent contractors if they're going to be treated as employees. That goes for WWE specifically, I guess. So if you're not going to give them health benefits and all that other stuff and an ability to go to therapy and take care of their minds just as much as their bodies, then they shouldn't be treated like employees. They should be treated like independent contractors as they're supposed to be and be able to wrestle wherever they want to, like AEW does. AEW does not have employees. They have independent contractors. And again, this is a whole nother conversation. So I guess my point is I have heard a lot of times that they're able to go to rehab and stuff like that. Rehab is obviously not a fix for addiction. It's just a good spot to start and get away from things for a while. There's obviously much more follow-up after that. But that's usually on the individual wrestler, it's sad to say. I think every wrestler, because they don't get health care with WWE or AEW, you know, they're kind of on their own to be able to figure out all that stuff. But I don't think any Vince McMahon, Tony Khan, any wrestling promoter is going to fire anybody for being open about mental health and addiction and all that stuff. I mean, they have all these programs they support now, especially WWE, Be a Star, all that thing, all of that. I don't know if I'm making any sense, but I think that I don't think there's much of a stigma anymore in wrestling. I think there's probably just as much of a stigma in wrestling as there is in the rest of the world. The world has definitely changed. We're definitely a lot more understanding of mental health and addiction and all of that stuff. So as long as it seems to me that Vince McMahon, as much as we crap on him here on this podcast for his creative brain soup that he has definitely been known for supporting the wrestlers in these kind of situations. So I give him the benefit of the doubt. I also absolutely probably give Tony Khan the benefit of the doubt and any other upper level management in wrestling until they've given us a reason to not give them the benefit of the doubt. I think wrestlers are taken care of to the best of their ability in that sense. I don't know. I really don't know the ins and outs, Aiden. You know, like I said in the other question you asked, I don't know enough about all of this stuff, but I would like to think that if you're someone who hates on a wrestler on Twitter or anywhere else because they are open about their mental health or their addiction issues, you're and get a life, you know, get a life. That's so sad. Everybody's got something is what my mom always says. Mimi, everybody's got something. So, you know, even if your thing is an addiction or mental health, you know, you've probably got something going on that is difficult for you to deal with. So everybody's got something to deal with. And I assume that that wrestling is just as progressive with this whole not stigmatizing addiction and mental health illnesses as well as the rest of the world has gotten to. So with all that being said, guys, whew, heavy topics. All right, moving on. Let me give you a random match recommendation of the week, and then we will close this whole thing out. So your random match recommendation of the week is none other than WrestleMania 21, Edge versus Chris Benoit versus Chris Jericho versus Christian versus Kane versus Shelton Benjamin. Guys, the Money in the Bank that started it all holds up even to this day. An amazing match. Obviously, I won't spoil it for you if you haven't seen it, but the winner is very important nowadays. That's all I'll say. And definitely a really fun one to watch. Remember how awesome Shelton Benjamin was in those little spurts? Definitely in some other Money in the Bank matches. I think the one in WrestleMania 24 was probably his most incredible. That's, you know what? Two for one, guys. Go watch the one from WrestleMania 24 as well with CM Punk, Carlito, Chris Jericho, John Morrison, who does some the amazing moonsault with the ladder. Mr. Kennedy, MVP, and Shelton Benjamin, a really great match as well. So you get a two for one Money in the Bank match from both WrestleMania 21 and 24. Go check those out before the Money in the Bank pay-per-view tonight or afterwards if you're still feeling Money in the Bank-ish. And as always, guys, thank you for listening. I hope you have a wonderful rest of your week. We will be back next week to talk all about on Thursday/Wednesday night, Fyter Fest Night 2, and then we'll be back again to talk about Money in the Bank and the rest of the week in wrestling on next week's highs and lows, as well as go check out all the amazing other shows on the WWE podcast here. I don't talk about it enough and I don't plug it enough. NXT review show, SmackDown review show with Michael Ritter. Jeez, it's been a day, guys. I got to get out of here. The weekend review is definitely going on, I'm sure, too, with Matt and a co-host. Probably going to be up already. And then we've obviously got probably the Money in the Bank review show with the Botch guy and Matt that's going to happen tonight, if I'm not mistaken. I'm not caught up, though. So Go check all that stuff out, guys. Great co-hosts here. I am just one grain of sand in this beautiful beach that is the unofficial WWE podcast. And with that, have a wonderful rest of your week, and I'll talk to you guys next time.